It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
Enjoy life, enjoy who you are, enjoy the moments, the simple things in life, because really that to me is where the magic is made. It's not in accomplishments or likes or money or, you know, perceived success.
If you're an HGTV fan, or if you're looking for ways to turn your home and your workspace into places that you love to be, you're going to love today's episode with Luke Caldwell. Luke is the HGTV star of Boise Boys and Outgrown, and he's the founder of Timber and Love Design and Build Firm. Luke also has a new book coming out called Americana Soul, Homes Designed with Love, Comfort, and Intention, set to be released on October 25th. So in addition to doing all these great things, Luke is also the father of eight. So Luke and I are going to be chatting about some tips to help you love your home, his design philosophy, how to design with intention. He's also going to be sharing some keys for having a successful workspace. Luke's going to be sharing his journey with being on TV and how he navigated being in the limelight, and also how he navigates his career and his home life being in a family with eight children. I'm so excited about this. Let's jump into it and welcome Luke to the show.
Luke, super happy to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Howdy.
So you are doing some incredible things. And I mentioned to you before I hit the record button that my husband and kids and I watched one episode from your first TV show, Boise Boys, last night. And I absolutely loved it. It was so fun.
Oh, good.
So great. So I would love for you just to share a little bit of your background and what you're currently up to.
Sure. So it was kind of a weird journey to, I guess, get on TV and kind of have that whole world. There wasn't anything I was looking for, anything I was even really interested in, but it just kind of ended up happening. You know, for me and my wife, the whole journey actually in real estate and kind of in business started because we wanted to adopt, which is, people always are like, oh, that's kind of a weird journey. And we kind of think the same thing. So we had two kids of our own, and then we really wanted to adopt a little boy from China. We were really drawn to him, but it's like $45,000 to do it. And we're thinking like, how are we going to come up with this extra money? I was a musician at the time. And so that wasn't happening. And so I remember thinking like, I know you can make money in real estate. I've always wanted to fix something up. And I've always loved design and anything creative. And so, and especially traveling a lot, kind of would always see these really cool spots and have different ideas. So we bought an old dumpy house here in Boise, Idaho. And we made it beautiful. And I loved the whole, you know, the vision and then just seeing it come to life. And then really, ultimately, making a house that I would feel proud of, you know, for me and my wife and our family. Mm-hmm. And that kind of started this whole journey. We were able to save up some money through that. And we adopted our first boy. And then we just kept doing it. We've adopted five kids since. So we've got three biological, five adopted. And that was how I got involved in real estate. And it kind of, they found us through Instagram or social. I can't even remember, but it just started this whole world where now we have a TV show and like a hugely successful business here in Boise, Idaho called Timber and Love, and real estate brokerage and nightly rentals and all this stuff. And I'm just sitting here thinking like, this is an interesting journey, but I'm super thankful for it and grateful. I've got an amazing wife, an amazing family.
Okay, that's wild. So I want to hear how you felt, if you can remember, when you got that call. Was it a call or an email from HGTV being like, we want to do a series with you? You know, wasn't on your radar?
If it was only that easy, it was like a 2-year process.
Okay.
So I think it, you know, there's a lot of money that's spent on these shows, and it's they do a lot of, you know, research and development on who it is and what's going on. So there was like, I think probably like 6 yeses had to happen after that initial contact. Come to find out, they contact tons of people, but then you go through this process of elimination. And, you know, from what we were told, you know, 1 out of 1,000, you know, might get the show. You get this like act 1 where they do like a 7-minute kind of like sizzle reel to see what you're like.
Yeah.
And then it goes to a potential, you know, like one episode, and then they air it, don't tell anybody about it, and they see how it charts without any marketing, no promotion. What? And then they're looking for a target demographic that actually likes you. And it, you know, and it's really interesting. You can't control any of it. So you're kind of just like, we'll see what happens. And we had no agenda with any of it. And it just connected with the right people. And 30 episodes later, we're just super thankful for the opportunity and looking to make more shows for the network. And it's been a lot of fun.
Okay. So I'm curious what kind of mindset you had going into this, because that sounds like a lot of pressure to me that you have to make these different cuts to get there. And then they're putting it out there to see if the audience likes you. Right. And I think for some people listening, that's like cringeworthy of like anxiety building of being judged by thousands and thousands of people and having that pressure. So, I mean, and also sounds like it could be a really cool and fun experience. So I think it just depends on the person. But how did you navigate that pressure and being in the public eye, like staying grounded in who you are and not letting that get to you?
Well, I don't really see it as pressure. You know, I've always been a fairly confident person and just trying to be who I am, be myself and confident in my own skin. And so I just, you know, going in it to, for me, like I'm not a designer that's naturally, I don't have any training. So I never went to school for it. I think that maybe that aspect a little bit was just like, well, you know, I don't really know if people will connect with what I connect with or like what I like, but at the end of the day, I honestly don't really care. I've always kind of just gone with my gut instinct. And it's interesting because even as a designer, you know, I kind of came into this whole thing with no agenda. So you're kind of like playing with free money in an essence. Like I was just like, ultimately for my wife and I, if it happens and we could be a voice for special needs kids and be able to show that they're beautiful people and that everyone deserves a family, deserves to be loved and accepted for who they are. Like at the end of the day, to me, those are the most important things in my life. Design is design. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it. And maybe I learned that as a musician is you kind of get comfortable in just saying like, hey, this is what I enjoy. This is what I feel drawn to. There's going to be people who love it. There's going to be people who hate it. I'm comfortable with that. I don't take any of it personally. And I realize that, you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea and vice versa. And we just want to encourage each other and support each other and what we're doing in life. And so I think having a supportive family and I think having ultimately, like it wasn't a dream of mine. So it wasn't like all this pressure of just like, oh my gosh, this is my one opportunity.
Yeah.
It was just like, that could be cool or it could be really annoying. I don't even know. We'll find out.
Wow. So it sounds like you went into it with the right mentality of having fun, having it be an adventure, and then using it to advocate for the things that are really important to you and your family. And I'm wondering if you have any insights or tips for people who might be struggling with not having that security in themselves. And particularly these days with social media, there's a lot of comparison that can go on. And if someone isn't as grounded in themselves, they might fall into the trap of not feeling good enough or feeling judged if, you know, they don't get likes on their post or whatever is happening these days. Curious if you have any guidance, insight for people who may be struggling with that.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that, you know, you're one of one, you know, that you are uniquely yourself and you can't be somebody else. You're you. And I think that just knowing that that's great. And that ultimately you've got your own story and you've got your own place. And I think that we all have something to offer. And I think one of the things that has opened up my eyes to that more than anything is adopting these kids, because so many people, you know, they were disregarded. They were disregarded to the point where they just were like abandoned and were like, we don't want you, you know, and seeing that these kids have something beautiful to give and that they are literally treasures and they're so unique and they all have, you know, some of them can't even talk, but they have something that they can give. And I learn things from these kids every single day and they don't have an agenda. They're just being who they were created to be. And I love how as they are growing, they're just coming into themselves and I just want to, you know, support them and encourage them in it because they're uniquely themselves. And I think that for all of us, you know, you just got to be comfortable in who you are and be, you know, what you're passionate about, like gravitate towards those things and grow in them because there's always room to grow and learn. And I just think that comparison is such a weird thing, because even the most successful people in the world are comparing themselves with the people who are more successful. And it's just this never ending thing where at the end of the day, what's the point? Like, yeah. Just enjoy life, enjoy who you are, enjoy the moments, the simple things in life, because really that to me is where the magic is made. It's not in accomplishments or likes or money or, you know, perceived success, because at the end of the day, it all is going to go away anyway. So everyone's on to the next or whatever else it is. And so it's really being comfortable with your circle, your world that you have. And that could be you and your dog, you know, it could be you and your kids. It could be you and your husband. It could be you by yourself. Like, I think that we need to be comfortable in our own elements, and it's always the best place to be.
Yeah, that was beautiful. So I think this is a good segue into creating that space for yourself in your home. And you, as a designer and all the things that you've been doing, you seem to be really good at bringing in that energy and that warmth into people's homes. So what do you think is the first step for people if they're looking around their house and they want to spice it up, they want to add more feeling, more warmth, more joy into their home? What would you suggest?
Well, I think there's multiple things that you could do for sure. You know, a lot of people, they're not buying or creating their dream home per se. So, you know, whether they're buying a spec house that, you know, doesn't have a lot of personality and it's, you know, it's pretty just no personality or predictable, or maybe it just feels like a big box store. There's so many different variables when it comes to that. And I think that, you know, it is important to have a space where you want to be. And so for me, I've always approached design like songwriting. So as a musician, you know, when you're writing a song, you're trying to create a feeling. You're trying to create a moment where when someone's listening to it and maybe they have their eyes closed, like they have a feeling that you're trying to invoke through the song. And that could be of peace. That could be of joy. That could be of, you know, gratitude. That could be emotional, whatever it is. As a songwriter, you're kind of thinking about like, what's the end result? Do I want someone to dance to this song? Do I want someone to sing along because it's super catchy? And what's interesting is as a someone who's listening to music, you're not always like thinking through all the details that go into that song. You're just enjoying it. And I think for our spaces, they kind of happen the same way. At least that's how I've always approached design, is that when someone walks into my house, starting with my kids, I want them to have a place where they just feel comfortable. They feel like it looks cool, and they want their friends to come over. They want to kick up their feet and relax, but it's still like an environment that's very, you know, appealing. And so I think for everybody, it's going to be unique, but you want to put your own story into your house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously we all have those heirlooms or those special things that we've bought on a trip, and it kind of reminds us of these special moments or times or people in our lives. And so I think the more you can incorporate your own story into your home, or the color, the surroundings, always the better. So I love just the story of home, and every home is unique, but you always want to kind of think about, what do I want people to feel when they walk into the space? What do I want to feel when I walk into the space? Because I know certain coffee shops you walk into or a jazz bar, you're just like, oh, this is a good vibe. Like, you can create that through design, and the sky is the limit. You can do anything you want.
I love that. Now, you wrote a book, and
I did.
Yes. America. I'm sure. I mean, it's beautiful. I got to peek at it, and absolutely gorgeous. So Americana, is that how you are saying it? Americana Soul. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. Americana Soul. So
Americana Soul. So where did the name come from? I want to hear about it.
Well, I think that, you know, what I love about America is that I think we have become just this like great melting pot where everybody is coming from a different place ultimately. And we all have these, you know, different stories. We have, you know, different heritages. We've got different connections, and they've all kind of brought us to this point. Like here in Boise, like a lot of people don't know this, but we have the largest Basque community outside of, you know, that the area over in Spain than anywhere else in the world. It's just a conglomerate of all these Basque people. And so that we have this whole like cultural center, and it's amazing to kind of see like your guys' story is here now. And you've got this crazy community, and you walk through it, and the smells from their food and the culture and the buildings and what they've created in their families. It's just like, wow, that is so, it's so unique that we get to, you know, see it. And we're here. Like, we're not across the ocean. We're here in Boise. And I think that that's just going on all over America. And I love that we all have this unique story that we're bringing to the table and that we're intermixed together. We are truly like a melting pot. And so that's kind of where the Americana comes from, is as I look around and see all the different cultures and people and lifestyles. Like, it's just, it's, I love the diversity of it. Yeah. And with all of it, you know, soul to me is the heirlooms. It's the stories, it's the vintage pieces, it's the antiques, it's the heart behind it, the history behind it. And so I wanted to write a book that basically talks about kind of what you just said, is infusing your story, your heritage, your culture into design. What speaks to you, what you love to be around, the story that you want to be able to tell, because we all have that. And there's this, you know, connection. I think I've learned about that too from adoption, is, you know, my kids, four of my kids coming from China, and one of my kids we brought over from Ukraine, and knowing now, like, we want to infuse their culture into our family. Yeah. And so whether that's through food or music or dance or history or architecture, like, there's so many things that now I'm like, I'm really curious about that. And so the book is basically a journey of kind of the way I approach design, how I kind of think about a space. And ultimately, I want to give people tips and tricks and encourage people to say, hey, this is how you can make your story, your heritage, your culture, and infuse it into your space, into your home, into, you know, what you want as, you know, a designer of your own unique space.
I love that. And I haven't had a chance to look through the whole book yet, but looking through even the beginning, I felt inspired. I started looking around our house, our living area, and I was like, okay, this is, you know, we can add a little bit of this here. We can add a little bit of that there. So I really liked that, the visual component of it. And then also the story behind it that you shared, I felt inspired. So,
well, that's awesome.
I loved it. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for people who are working remotely right now, because I know that that's kind of carrying over. A lot of remote work is now here to stay for some people, or flexible work environments. So you might be working at the kitchen table. Your kids might be there, you know, so there's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts for how to help people create that workspace from home.
Well, I guess I would start by saying, you know, I've got 8 kids, so working from home is not an option. I know everyone's different, but I have to have a space where I can really like focus on what I'm trying to do. And also, you know, be inspired. I love being in an environment that I actually want to be in. To me, I always have the most productive work when I'm in a space. So if you are at home, I think it's important to really kind of, one, be intentional about that space, to where you say, you know what, this is going to be my space. And here's the things that I really need to be successful in that space. And so whether it's, you know, having the mood with candles or with certain lighting or with the right chair, you know, the right desk, where it's like, you know, everyone's different. Some people like working in, you know, chaos, and they do really well in that. And some people really need, you know, orderly and neat and be able to shut the door and the music is right and you can just vibe out and get your work done. And so I think kind of just knowing yourself is probably the most important part of it. It's like, where are you the most productive when you are working? And then let's create that at home so that we can just keep up that productivity and also be in an environment that, you know, we want to be in, and it doesn't feel like a drag to be.
Right. I'm currently working on, or I shouldn't say my husband and I, our family are working on creating a workspace in our sunroom. So we, like, with COVID, our dining room became my office, which I wasn't really using because I didn't have that desire to be in there for work. I was gravitating towards the sunroom to work.
Sunrooms are cool.
So we're now, that the dining room that was my office is now going to be like a fitness area. And then our sunroom with the light, I just feel more creative in there. So that's kind of my project.
That's great, because your house should be used for what, not necessarily traditionally what it's supposed to be, but what works for you. I mean, it's your house.
And I felt like when we had family over, we all would gravitate towards our huge kitchen table. And then the dining room was like extra. So I didn't feel like we were really using it. But then part of me was like, well, you have to have a dining room, which isn't true. So finally, with COVID, we're like, no, we don't need it.
Move on.
Yes, totally. So at this point, we are coming close to the end. And your book, what is the release date? I know it's in October.
So yeah, October 25th, Americana Soul. And it's released by Simon & Schuster. And they've just been amazing to work with and hopefully, you know, make sense of. I actually am not like a writer. And so it was almost all spoken into my phone as I was like processing and thinking through everything. I would kind of have like bullet point notes. And then we would, you know, basically from there, some awesome, you know, team members here, like typed out for them everything I said. And then we would kind of read through it and like, you know, and I'd kind of try to make sense of it. And then we'd send it to the editor and then she would really work through it and make sure that it was like making sense because I'm just like talking. But, you know, for me, that was just the only way I could get it done because I'm more of a communicator than I am like a writer. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a cool process. And I hope that it encourages people to, you know, really find their story and think through some different ways of doing design. Because again, like I'm not, you know, is there a licensed interior design? I don't even know. But I just, you know, I think that there's a way to figure out what you gravitate towards and then how to create those feelings and spaces for your own home. And
I love it.
It's great because that really is an important aspect of life, right? To be in a space that you want to be in. And so when guests come over, your family, you're just like, you're proud of your space and people mm-hmm. want to be there and, you know, yeah. starting with your own family and kids and stuff.
Yeah, totally. So I'm going to be putting a link to order the book, whether that is pre-sale or whether it's been officially out, that will be in the episode details. And I highly recommend that you check it out if you're looking for inspiration, because as I said, I didn't even get through, I didn't even get to half of it and I was feeling crazy inspired. So highly, highly recommend it. Now we are coming to the end. So first question that I have for you for this wellness lightning round is, what is a self-care practice that you incorporate in your day-to-day life that is like, or do you have one that's a non-negotiable, something you have to do to reduce stress?
So gosh, you know, I think for me, just getting outside, being in nature, anytime I'm starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed, I mean, the nice thing is our offices is right next to the Boise Greenbelt and with the Boise River right here. So I literally just walk out during the middle of the day. I take a walk and I just listen to the water. I look at the trees and I usually have like a, you know, LaCroix with me or something. And it's just, it immediately it's just like brings back energy. I think sometimes when you're cramped up in a space or you're not moving, to me, I just realized I need to just like take a little walk and get outside. And that always makes me feel a little bit better.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Same thing for me. Now, the last question that I have for you is, knowing what you know today, what advice would you have given to yourself from 10 years ago?
From 10 years ago, you know, I would say more than anything is just to not have expectations. And it's something that I've learned a lot over the years, but I think that, you know, especially as a younger person, you've got these expectations for yourself, for your life, for your family, with work. And it's just, sometimes they're unrealistic and they're someone else's expectations, or, you know, they're put on you through your childhood without realizing it, whatever it might be. And I think it's important to go through, obviously we want goals and we want to have aspirations and all that kind of stuff. But I also think that you can't put unrealistic expectations on how something's going to look or be. You just, the more that you're open to just saying, hey, this is going to play out how it's going to play out. I'm going to do my best every day. I'm going to, you know, love this person or work hard in the situation and do the best at where I'm at today. There's always so much more peace that comes from that than like having like exact results that need to come from these things that you do. And again, I think I learned that through adoption. It's just like, these kids are coming into our family and we don't have an expectation of how it's going to look. We're just going to love you for who you are, and how it plays out, it's going to play out. And there's so much more beauty and peace in that than trying to figure out everything and control everything.
Right. No, that's great advice. So Luke, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for taking time with me today, sharing all of these insights. I really, really appreciate it.
It's great to meet you.
You too. Take care, Luke.
See ya.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you.
If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps the show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Now for a disclaimer, the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. Always consult your physician before taking any medications, any over-the-counter drugs, any supplements, vitamins, or herbs, and consult your physician before starting any new lifestyle programs. All information, views, and statements shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. They have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Opinions of guests are their own, and Crystal Bauer and this podcast do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. Neither Crystal Bauer nor this podcast takes any responsibility for possible health consequences of a person or persons following the information in this educational content. Always consult your physician for recommendations specific to you. If any product mentioned in this podcast has been received from the manufacturer or public relations team for that product with the express intent of editorial consideration, the product will be identified as such. A product for which Live Greatly receives some form of compensation for promoting will be identified as such.